And again, we welcome each one here. I have something similar on my mind. Let's read in the Bible and the way that we find the verses, and then I'll go back to my main verse or my passage that I was thinking about. So Ecclesiastes. For those who are here for Sunday school this morning, you'll know this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And if you are not saved, my message is aimed directly at you. I'm not beating around the bush. I'm straight and coming straight for you. The Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. I really have this heavy on my heart, so I trust that we'll be able to get through the message clearly and simple, just like our previous brother. And you probably know this, but we're gonna read it. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Right now is a time when you remember, I have a God to meet. I have someone I'm going to meet. I have a place I'm going to be after I die. I'm not going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever. We all have plans. We all have aspirations. We have hopes and dreams. And we long to be, when I get this old, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to get this. And when I get past high school, I'm going to go here. And I'm going to go here for university. And I'm going to get a scholarship in this. And I'm going to be attained to this status in my sport life. And I'm going to go to this status in my... And we don't know. This week could be your last week. Next reading is Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 20. Jeremiah 8 and verse 20. It's really a scary thought. It's something it talks about, if you look outside of our fields, on the fields outside, we see this is planting season. The plants or whatever they're planting is starting to grow. But at the end of the season, the harvest comes. And they go out with all the machinery and they gather everything up. And it's all gathered in. And then the harvest is past. So let's read verse 20. This is what the verse is exactly saying. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Not saved. We are not saved. We didn't consider our Creator when we were young. I didn't consider the Creator when I was a little older. I put things off. I didn't consider that time was so short. And I didn't consider that the Lord was coming. And I just kind of put it off. And I really didn't think it was that important. And it's too late. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And let's turn over to, jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 2 Corinthians 6. And verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee, I have heard you, in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee, or helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. Not later on today. Right now. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we'll look at verse 16. Acts 16 and 16. And as it came, and it came to pass, and this is Paul and be Silas as well, that and maybe others, but as it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates and saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Verse 22, and the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He thought, everybody's gone. All the prisoners I'm looking after, why, they're all gone. There's absolutely, everything's wide open for them to just walk out here. He drew the sword and would have killed himself. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. He's no longer sleeping in the prison, is he? He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, the very ones that he had cast them into the very innermost part of the prison. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, I'm not worried about who thinks what. I don't care about my whole life, my job. I want to get saved right now, because tomorrow could be too late. The Romans could come and take my life. He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get baptized and live a good life. And no. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, period, in thy house. What a nice answer they gave you. They gave you the right answer. And we give you the same exact answer they gave the jailer. So if you want to be saved tonight, put salvation number one. Put the time to be saved right now. Don't worry about the future of all your investments of your time and your money and your energy and your sports and everything you're thinking about. I want you to forget about that. Just put it to the side. Do you see this chart there? It begins on my right, and it goes to the pillar of death. That's your age when you die. How old will you be when you die? You say, I don't know. Exactly. We don't know. That's why we say and we implore unto you to not put this off. Put salvation number one. You know, we heard about this morning. Was it this morning? It was a young gentleman on near Kensington, was it, on his motorcycle. And he was killed by a truck, I believe, that he hit. And this was posted on Facebook, and it was a friend of someone who I worked with over in Nova Scotia. And it's their relative. And so, there you go. It's a small world. But what if it was you? What if it was you that we're reading about on Facebook? It's being shared about on different groups, and please pray for the family because they're going through suffering. What if it's you? Where would your soul be? Because your body will live until it will... It's what houses your real you, your soul. But your soul is going to live forever. And that's why, that's what's my concern. And that's why I'm coming straight for you. And I want you to put salvation number one. Last Thursday, not this Thursday past, but the previous Thursday, so it'll be a week and about 3 days or so, we were in here in the Bible study, and we went after out of the Bible study, and my wife said, oh, so-and-so's house is a problem with it. And I'm not going to exaggerate a bit. There was something happened to the house, and the outside of one of the two entrances had caught fire. And there was like an overhang, and there's a side entrance, and that's something that, so there was, that's what happened. And so we went over, and we couldn't really see too much because it's dark and everything's all black. But everybody's up sleeping. Everybody's ready for bed. There's 10 people in that house. 9 upstairs and 1 in the basement. And so-and-so, the neighbors, were the ones that saw this. And if they hadn't gone out and started banging on the door and on the window, saying, come out, wherever they were banging on, and if that fire had taken hold of that house, it might be a different story tonight. And they heard... The people upstairs heard the people banging. They were banging, and they thought, oh, it's one of the kids. They're downstairs, you know. They're downstairs banging and making a noise, you know. And they didn't realize that if we don't, you know, we went over and we looked at it. We tried to look at it as much as we could, but. And they all come out of the house, and they were looking at it, and then one of them said, we're not going to sleep upstairs tonight. We'll all sleep on the level. And we mentioned it with a smoke detector, and one said, yeah, we should get one for the outside too. And it was a shock. And it went from being just a regular sleep, a night to go to sleep, to we're not going upstairs tonight. They put it number one, their own safety. And so I want to think of this. I wish that you had the same earnest about your soul's salvation. I wish you realize that this is real. That this is not something that we're just putting on. We're just trying to not just make an act. We're not just pretending here. Because once you cross that line of death, once that pillar of death is crossed, and you cross that, there's no coming back. There's no second chances. Once the Lord comes, what's going to happen then? We'll be left behind for a certain judgment. But you see this jailer, you see sometimes those who are hardened and cold and callous, sometimes they wake up and they realize, hey, I need to be saved. I wish you were like him. He was no doubt a strong man, no doubt able to take care of himself and take care of others, but he was willing to look upon his need and see, realize the situation, and he realized that I need to be saved. My soul is in need. I'm a sinner, and if I die as I am, I'll be in hell. Did you realize that if you die as you are, if you die as you are, you'll be in hell? Did you ever realize that if you die as you are, you'll be in hell? Yeah. I remember when I realized that. I realize that probably everybody here is saved. It goes back to the time when, I realized that Jesus was the one who died for me. The one who was absolutely perfect. The one who was sinless. He's spotless. He's the only sacrifice that God wants for sin. He doesn't want your good deeds or your prayers or your church attendance or anything like that. He wants you to have a broken heart. He wants you to put salvation number one. He wants you to repent from your sin and turn to God, the only one who is able to save your soul. And I remember down on my knees beside Mr. Samuel Patton, this one man from Ontario, and I was sure that I thought perhaps he could be saved. He could save me. Mom and Dad, I thought, they couldn't save me. Me having a Bible and knowing the Bible verses, why, that couldn't save me. And then I came to an end of all my options that I had. And I realized, hey, Dale, you can't be saved. You won't, you'll just have to go to hell. That was just like looking into a black hole and no options out. And then I realized that's why Jesus died on the cross. Do you realize that? That's why Jesus died. He died for you. He took your place. He suffered in your stead. He bore all the sin, all the wrath that was ours, that was mine, that was yours. He bore it. Oh, he wants you to just take it for yourself. He wants you to just take it just like a gift. Oh, I was going to read that tonight. For by grace are you saved. That grace is unmerited favor. Something we don't deserve. Grace. For by grace are we saved. Through faith. Faith is just simple trust. Confidence. Not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you saved by grace? Only by God's grace, you know. Don't put salvation off. I'm going to go back to Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, and I'll read it again. And that's all I'm going to read. Because this is what it says. Jeremiah chapter 8, you don't have to turn to it. But listen to the words. So we read in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The Bible says God says it to you. He's saying to you directly. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. You don't want to listen to God? You don't want to pay attention to God? You just say, God doesn't know what he's talking about. I can do what I can act. I can do what I want. I know better than none. No, don't ever even think of that. You know what's going to happen? You put God off. It's going to come to this verse. Jeremiah 8, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. The cry of an individual that's lost, forever lost, will be this cry. And we hope and we pray this is not your cry. What if it was? What if this is your cry? Is this going to be your cry? Are you going to put something ahead of God's salvation? Are you going to put something ahead of being right with God? We hope that you will not. You know, last Friday, I mowed the lawn and got sick after doing that. And eventually had to go to the hospital because I was coughing up stuff that I don't want to tell you. But what I was, I started doing, do you ever play Dr. Google? Looking it up on the internet, find out what my symptoms are. And, oh, this is, must be what I had. Don't do it. I was thinking, okay, well, so get to a doctor right away because you could, it could be quite serious. Well, it could have been quite serious if it was what they were saying, but it wasn't. But suppose the worst things possible happened to me. You know something? You know what I thought? It's only heaven. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen if you're going to heaven? And another, my friend is Oliver, and unmentioned by name. And she had, they thought possibly a brain aneurysm, you can die from that. And it wasn't, it was a bleed from the brain, but she's still in pain. And suppose something happened and she was to pass away and from absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now let me ask you the question. Suppose this week your health decided to go take a nosedive and you showed up at the doctor's office and everything's all canceled. All sports events shut down. You can't take part of any. Would it be heaven or would it be hell? See, this is where the rubber hits the road and we need to think about, is my soul saved? Is my soul saved? Is your soul saved? We trust that as the meeting comes to a close, you'll put this number one. Now is the day of salvation. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we're grateful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for thy wonderful love in sending him to die on a cross for sinners. We'll wonder, we'll praise him forever. And we pray that others that are here, even amongst us, that are not saved, may realize that's why the Lord Jesus came. We pray for us. We ask thy blessing upon us. Give us help as we sing a closing hymn. And we thank thee for the kind attention. But we pray most of all for the spiritual blessing of individuals that are not saved, that they'll put this number one in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.